The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. We are just less than two weeks away from the kickoff of the 2022 Indiana football season against Illinois at Memorial Stadium in Bloomington. Today we are joined by TJ Inman and Andy Graham to talk about the Indiana defense, a unit which has a little bit of a makeover with Tom Allen calling the defense, but returns a lot of familiar faces and a lot of production from the last couple of years. So it's a unit that I think, and I'll speak for the other two with me, that I think we feel pretty good about. Andy, we'll start with you. Just the overview of the defense with Tom Allen coming back to be the play caller. How is that going to change things?
Well, I hope it kind of resurrects the creative aggressiveness that we saw early in Tom's career. And you know, obviously we lost a defensive coordinator and went down to be the head coach of South Alabama, but I liked how he orchestrated things too. But no, Tom taking over again, I think matters. And the thing is, there are almost all of these guys that we're going to talk about in the two deep or even the three deep in some cases have played a lot of snaps for Tom in Indiana. And, I could make a viable first team defense made up exclusively of seniors who are returning players who have all started games for Indiana. Now, I don't necessarily think all 11 of those guys will start, although most of them will, but you literally can make a viable starting defense out of senior players who are returning and who have started before for Indiana. You got CO at the nose, DeMarcus Elliott could play the tackle. James Head, Alfred Bryant, Bo Robbins, those guys could play defensive end and the bowl position. Cam Jones and Aaron Casey at linebacker, Noah Pierre at Husky, Tywan Mullen, Jalen Williams at corners, and Devin Matthews, Monster Matthews, and Brian Fitzgerald at safeties. All of those guys are seniors. All of them have started. And that's just a really good foundation upon which to operate. And I haven't mentioned any of the other guys that we're going to talk about, including a lot of guys who may start. But Chad Wilt, the new defensive coordinator, who will handle the linebackers for us also, made a comment earlier during fall camp here that he thought, and once again, he's coming in from Minnesota. So he's coming in from someplace else and taking a deep look at the new players that he has. And he said, I think we're going to be able to successfully attack other teams and wear them down with our depth. And I actually think that he's right, and I think it's exciting.
TJ, going to you, what excites you about this defense? What impact does Tom Allen have on it? And just as long as they're healthy, how much are you looking forward to seeing these guys back on the field?
So from a play calling perspective, I think we all certainly expect Tom Allen to bring about more aggressiveness pre-snap. I think that we would expect more blitz packages to get pressure on the opposing quarterback and into the opposing backfield. And that's really Tom Allen's big emphasis on defense always is create takeaways. He preaches that, they practice that, and he calls plays in order to force takeaways. He puts the opposing offense under pressure, or tries to, and puts his defenders in a position to take advantage of that if the offense makes a mistake. So definitely looking for more of that. I think that it's going to, from a scheme perspective, it's going to look a lot more like what we grew accustomed to prior to last season. From a personnel standpoint, I really do think it is a very deep defense. The biggest question, of course, is how do you replace a productive tackle machine like Micah McFadden, I think that that's going to be kind of a by committee approach. There's not going to be anybody on this defense that puts up the kind of numbers that Micah McFadden did. However, from a top to bottom personnel standpoint, I think that this unit is more talented and deeper than it has been previously.
Yeah, I everything you said there, you just hope that it's more of the 2020 defense when they led the Big Ten in sacks and takeaways and just put quarterbacks in a bad position to make bad decisions than the 2020, like the end of the 2021 season. Cause I thought the defense held their own early on. And then, you know, after the Maryland game, the back was broken and things like that. And injuries took over. Let's start our position breakdown. Let's go from the back forward. So let's start in that secondary. It's a veteran secondary. You get a healthy Tywin Mullen back. You get Jalen Williams back as well at the corner, who's Indiana's active leader in career interceptions with 6. Devin Matthews, who has played a lot of good football for IU, who was banged up last year, he's back at the strong safety position. They're moving Brian Fitzgerald down to the free safety and putting Noah Pierre at the Husky to try and get their best 5 on the field. Andy, what do you look forward to this secondary? I know that Husky position is that variable, you know, hybrid linebacker secondary position, but we'll group them in with the secondary. Just what are you looking forward to besides being healthy, this secondary this year for IU?
Well, I just think that it should be a secondary that doesn't get burned very often by big plays. It's a lot of experience on the field. Now, Brian Fitzgerald has been at Husky rather than free safety. I still remember how excited Tom Allen was when Brian Fitzgerald came out of Avon and he said, you know, that guy's going to be a really good player for us. And I think allowed to roam as a free safety, I think he'll use a lot of his experience and talent well at that position. You know, Noah Pierre is an undersized Husky. He's listed at like 5'11", 175 or something like that. But he hits like a ton of bricks. I think he'll be a very popular player. I think if he stays healthy, I think Indiana fans are going to like how he plays. I mean, Tywin Mullen's been an All-American and he's healthy. You know, Jalen Williams has also gotten all Big Ten kind of notification. Devin Matthews has as well. All of these guys are really solid and I think proven performers. So it's interesting to see. And then you look like guys that could challenge for a starting job, perhaps even against returning starters like that, but who would be solid second unit guys. You got Brylon Lanier came in from Alabama. Chris Keys, who, you know, unfortunately tore his ACL last year, he's healthy again. And he's a big corner. He's like 6'1" corner. Really talented guy. You got Jonathan Hayes, safety transfer from Ole Miss, who I think is going to play. And Josh Sanguinetti, who we also have already seen make plays for Indiana. And I haven't even talked about Travell Mullen, Taiwan's younger brother, yet, coming in at cornerback. Lem Watley Neely is an experienced cornerback. I mean, I just went 3 deep at corner, and I'm perfectly sanguine about putting almost any of those guys out on the field. And that's kind of how it is for this whole defense. It's certainly true of the secondary. And I would expect the secondary to be the strength of the defense and probably the strongest unit on the entire team.
TJ, we'll go to you. What about the secondary stands out to you? And can this be a unit that starts to create those takeaways again?
May have lost TJ.
We might have.
I'm back.
He's back.
Okay, TJ.
Okay. Yep. So I think that Noah Pierre is probably the most kind of under the radar, underappreciated guy just from my standpoint. I have consistently throughout his career made the mistake of kind of forgetting about him. And then it comes time for a game. I watched the game and there's Noah Pierre making a play. And I get reminded again, and then I go through it the next week and forget. And I'm not going to make that mistake this year, because I think that he's worked incredibly hard, put himself in position for this kind of starring role at starting Husky, and I'm really excited to see how they utilize him. I think that he's a player that they could get really creative with because of his physicality, and because, as Andy mentioned, smaller guy that can aid in pass coverage as well. It's really going to be interesting to see how they utilize him at the Husky. In terms of the remainder of the secondary, I think you have to feel great about the cornerback position, particularly you know, when you're starting with Mullen and Williams. That's a really good 1-2 punch. It's one that most schools in the Big Ten would feel really good about. Looking beyond them, I think it's a lot of younger guys that we know from the recruiting pedigree and glimpses that we have seen of them. They've got a lot of talent. So who's going to step up and kind of step into those roles? And then there's a couple of freshmen that I'm pretty intrigued by. I don't know how quickly these guys are going to be able to step in. But somebody like Jamari Sharp, another one, James Mons,
yep.
Players that were pretty well regarded coming out of high school. And I know Tom Allen was thrilled to get them, particularly Jamari Sharp, who's already 6'1", over 180 pounds. I mean, he's got the look of a big time corner. And then one player that I think gets lost in the shuffle as well that could have an impact is Bryson Bonds, who's coming back as a redshirt sophomore here. He's gotten his feet wet. I just think it's a really deep group with kind of proven stars at the top, with Monster and Taiwan Mullen and Jalen Williams. And then a player like Noah Pierre, who is a proven veteran that is getting a bigger role and I think is definitely ready for it. And then that good mix of, you know, freshmen, redshirt freshmen, and sophomores that are challenging and pushing those older guys to get onto the field. Some of them are going to emerge. Some of them are going to get their chance. We'll see who emerges out of that shuffle. But I think it's a deep group, and I would concur with you. This is probably the most talented position group on the roster.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, once again, I'm a Noah Pierre fan as well, but at Husky, you know, they like Jordan Greer too. You got Lewis Moore coming in, one of the freshmen. You got Phillip Dunham at safety. I think, you know, he's highly regarded as well. It's just a lot of names we're throwing at you, but yeah, I mean, and another thing about it is, like, when you've got that kind of experience out there, you can bring your corners on blitzes. You can adjust. Your secondary is going to be able to handle sending the corners. And obviously, you know, Cade Womack loved to do that when he was the defensive coordinator here. And I think you're going to see that from Tom this year too. When you have a secondary that experienced, you can take some, you can gamble some. And I think that they will.
Yeah. Really missed that last year. Sure.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the secondary, a lot of those young pieces got playing time last year as they were thrown into the fire when it seemed like the entire secondary, except for Jalen Williams, got hurt. So let's move up to the linebackers. The obvious elephant in the room is, how are you going to replace Micah McFadden, who's doing his thing with the New York Giants in the NFL as a fifth-round draft pick? But he should make the team. He played very well in the first game, and I didn't catch them last night. But how do you replace Micah McFadden? And I think everybody's answer, you go to Cam Jones, who Chad Wilt had an excellent story last week about how Cam is mature by beyond his years. And, you know, Wilt's wife's, I think, uncle passed away, and he sent a message from the team to her and hangs out with his kids and things like that, and had pictures that he wanted to post, but, you know, confirmed with him and his wife. And we've seen Cam Jones play a big role, but he was always second fiddle to Micah McFadden. He's had some big plays. The defense always changed with him on the field. I think this is the year that Cam Jones shines at that linebacker position. But there are also other people in there as well. Aaron Casey should fit right into that. He's wearing the number 44 as a tribute to George Taliaferro. So he,
yep,
as he has earned that. You know, George was one of the best players in IU history, if not the best, a name that means a lot to IU fans and anybody around the football program as well. So he's earned that, and he'll have big expectations. And then you have two transfers coming in as well, and Jared Casey
Bradley Jennings.
And Bradley Jennings. So there's a lot of new faces. But I think we could take comfort in that Cam Jones is back and he's ready to lead this defense and lead the linebacking group and step in for Micah McFadden. TJ, we'll start with you on the linebackers. What? How does IU replace Micah McFadden? Is it just a paint by numbers and send out more talent in droves?
So I think you're starting with Cam Jones for sure. Bit of a question mark who that other starter is going to be. I think the two leading candidates for that are Bradley Jennings, transfer from Miami, and then Aaron Casey, veteran returning redshirt senior. I'm really don't know who's going to come out of that, but both of them have a lot of experience. Bradley Jennings started quite a few games for Miami and appeared in, I believe, like 36 games for the Hurricanes. The rest of this position group is pretty interesting because you have a variety of kind of skill sets here. Jared Casey is kind of a longer guy that I think they're hoping can provide explosive pass rush, maybe put him kind of on the outside, transfer from Kentucky there. Very good athlete. Desan McCullough listed as a linebacker, and I think that they do. Chad Wilt talked about him last week, I think, and we've got an article up on that on Hoosier Huddle. He kind of mentioned that they don't want to overload Desan McCullough, but they are finding some different ways to utilize him, and I think we could see him a little bit at linebacker. We could see him as kind of a pass rush specialist on third downs. And then you've got some guys that are incoming freshmen that I know the coaches are really high on them. I don't know how much they're going to play, but I do think they will see the field, and that's Caden Turner and Isaiah Jones. Both, when you watch the tape of them, it reminds you quite a bit of Micah McFadden, just the way they move.
Yep.
Now, it's unfair of us to speculate and say, oh, the next Micah McFadden, that's unlikely. But they could fill that type of a role down the line. And one guy that I think we'd be unwise to dismiss is Matt Holt, who's a walk-on from Center Grove High School, a redshirt freshman. The coaches have kind of gone out of their way to mention him on more than one occasion, which typically means that they think he can be a contributor, whether that's special teams or actually in the rotation of linebacker, hard to say, but I think we'd be remiss not to include him here in this conversation.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, TJ summed it up really well, and I don't have too much to add to it, except I would, something that Sammy said earlier to elaborate upon Cam Jones and his maturity level and whatnot. It was Cam, along with our only returning quarterback, and who came to Tom after the Bucket game last year, And it was, you know, it was Jack. I think Jack was catalytic to the idea, but Cam was right with him. So Tuttle and Cam Jones went to Tom and gave kind of a blueprint for how they thought things needed to be talked out and how to proceed and whatnot. And Tom very much appreciated and endorsed it and made some suggestions and listened to them. And those two guys stepped forward as team leaders in the immediate wake of the disaster last year. And that's always a good sign. And I tell you, one of the things that's interesting to me about the linebacking core, when you look at all the names and everything that's already been said about the guys who are going to be candidates to play, is which guys play middle, which guys play stinger. You know, that's going to be interesting to me too.
Yeah. And then you also have that bowl position, which I usually group with the defensive line, but it is a hybrid linebacker defensive lineman. Let's talk about that defensive line. You have a new coach coaching the defensive line this year in Paul Randolph. He comes from Texas Tech. If you've talked to him, he's just a football dude. He looks like a football dude. He wears his hat like a football dude. He talks like a football dude. You just hope he coaches like a football dude, which he should. You have a lot of returning players on that side of the ball. Plus you get some transfers in Darius Cox. And those guys, Patrick Lucas,
Miles Jackson.
Yep, because Tom Allen keeps calling him PJ and LD, and I'm getting names messed up and all that stuff. But
JH Tevis, who's probably going to start.
Yeah, he was an All Pac-12 player at Cal last year. Andy, we'll start with you on the defensive line. Take us through it. Is this, you know, IU's lacked the pass rush from the defensive line for a little bit of time, even under Tom Allen on some of his best defenses, he's had to use blitzes to get that pass rush. How do you think this defensive line will shake out, come September 2nd?
I'm still trying to master the name after 4 years. Now, listen, I think the pass rush is really obviously the key. And I like everything that I'm hearing out of camp. I like what I hear about James Head maybe having his best camp and being fully healthy now. I like what they're saying about, you know, Alfred Bryant at the bowl, where he and Miles Jackson, the kid that came in from UCLA as a sophomore now, who's got a lot of talent, is really pushing Alfred Bryant at the bowl. You got Bo Robbins also at defensive end, kid from Carmel, who started to emerge last year and I think has really increased his strength and size. At the nose, you got CO and DeMarcus Elliott, who decided to come back and play a fifth year, which is great. You got the two Ole Miss transfers behind them. You got J.H. Tevis, who's going to play one of the two tackle spots, probably the defensive tackle spot. And then you got Nick James coming in, a very celebrated freshman. And once again, I don't have any qualms about putting any of those guys out there. It's like, yeah, I'm pretty much on board with all of that. And then you toss in guys like Cooper Jones, very well thought of guy from Valparaiso, who's, you know, just been redshirted. You have freshmen coming in like Desan McCullough, who, as we mentioned earlier, might be playing some stinger outside linebacker, but also could play bowl. They'll probably use him in different ways, but they're going to use him to help rush the passer. You got Vincent Sneed coming in. He flipped from Tennessee, right, I believe. He was a late flip from Tennessee. I just rattled off 14 names and not trying to, you know, throw in names like a fire hose there, but that's 14 guys. And like, yeah, I'm interested in all of them. I'm not embarrassed to play any of them. And that goes back to my comment earlier about Chad Wilt saying that we're going to rotate guys. We're going to be fresh in the fourth quarter. If the game's close, we're going to be attacking people. And I like that. And I think that, yeah, I do think they have the depth to do that.
Yeah, you go back to, you know, especially the Penn State game in 2019 when I think Penn State had that long drive to just ice the game where you had a couple third and threes or fourth to ones and, you know, a defensive lineman goes out and you're playing C.J. Person as a freshman. And, yeah, you know, imagine if they had some depth and you get a stop there and maybe your offense, Peyton Ramsey, goes down the field and scores and knocks them off. But TJ, let's go to the defensive line with you. What's your take on this unit?
I think the biggest concern, there's a lot of depth, a lot of young players that I think everybody should be very excited about. The biggest concern continues to be, can they locate a couple of individuals that can get a pass rush without having to use any blitz schemes? That's one of the hardest things to find in college football or pro football, is difference-making pass rushers that can just beat their guy one-on-one or demand that double team to open up some space for other people. So can IU find those guys on the edge? I feel good about the interior of this line. I think it was huge to get the transfers from Ole Miss, Patrick Lucas and Ladarius Cox. I think that was massive to get those guys so you don't have to rely on the freshmen. They can contribute, but you don't have to rely on them. You're going to have CO likely starting up front there, and then Ladarius Cox and Patrick Lucas being able to be the primary rotation guys with him, and then you can throw the freshmen in as you know as they're ready for. You don't have to force that. And then DeMarcus Elliott, of course, is going to be that steady force pairing with him on the edge, experienced guy in James Head. I think you're always kind of looking for a bit more from him. Just hasn't quite been able to put together a full productive season, really. So I think that the hope is there for that. And then, again, McCullough, an interesting chess piece that they can move around. And J.H. Tevis, a guy that is capable of producing some pass rush, and a versatile piece that they can play outside or inside, depending on who else is on the field and depending on the scheme that they're going up against or a situation of the game. So I think it's a good versatile group with some different varying skill sets, some different body types. But again, it does come back to, do they have one or two difference-making pass rushers that can get to the quarterback without having to resort to blitz packages, which is not a bad thing to have to go to those. I think that IU will use those whether they have the pass rush from the edge or not. But it'd be great to have guys that you could line up and feel like they've got a good chance of beating the tackle that they're going up against. And we really haven't seen that for a while on a consistent basis at Indiana. I think that there's a hope that they've got some guys here that can get that done. Vincent Snead, I think, is one that they have high hopes for in that regard. And then Desan McCullough as well, just a different level of athlete than what they've typically had at the edge. So I think there's a hope there. Can they produce as freshmen?
Yeah, I remember when James Head was recruited and came in here, you know, we were all excited because he looked like an SEC.
Yeah.
Defensive end recruit. And he's 6'5", 260, senior, and he's having his best camp. They're excited, I think, about what he's showing right now. He's fully healthy. And then, yeah, you know, you add guys like Miles Jackson, who is an athlete by all accounts, with a lot of quick twitch to him. And then Desan McCullough, yeah, I mean, he's another one of those. And Vincent Snead, as you mentioned. J.H. Tevis, as you mentioned. You know, and you don't need like all five of those guys to turn into instant successful pass rushers. But if a couple of them do, that could really help this team. It could really make this defense go from, I think, what we expect to be a good, solid defense to being a really successful defense.
Can we steal like a DeLorean and go get Greg Middleton and Jamie Carlo from 2007 and bring them to 2022?
But you might not have to. I mean, you know, maybe Desaun McCullough will be that guy. I mean, he's the highest rated recruit in Indiana football history. He might be that guy. We just don't know yet.
Yep. It's been the missing piece and the missing link for making, for making it a little bit easier on the defense. But Indiana does have, that's where the experienced secondary comes in. And we'll get into the most important player on the defense here in a second. But a spoiler alert. That's when it's nice to have a Taiwan Mullen who takes away a third of the field half of the field in the pass game. And you could trust him to go cover on man, cover on an island, and let your linebackers and your athletic safeties do their thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, and you have experienced safeties. You know, you could play a cover two look back there with Monster and Brian Fitzgerald, and you're not going to get beat. You know, you're not going to get beat deep. You know, you might give up a crossing pattern or something like that, but you got experienced guys back there, and that just allows you to use the people in front of them more aggressively.
Let's move to that final segment of most important player. We'll do that first. I'll go last again. And under the radar player, TJ, most important player on this defense, who are you going with?
I think it's Cam Jones. Indiana needs tackling production from the linebacker spot. Cam Jones is a returning leader for this squad. He's going to have to be due more than ever with the absence of Mike McFadden. So I'll go Cam Jones. A lot of good candidates for this because there are so many good pieces on this defense, but Cam Jones is my pick.
Yeah. No, I'd say Cam too. Except since TJ said Cam, I'll say Monster Matthews. He's a heavy hitter. He's the kind of guy that brings some real physicality to the game, and he's got the kind of attitude I like back there. And I think he's going to be a leader on the field as well. And I like having safeties who are experienced and are absolutely willing to, you know, they're not going to get beat deep very much, and they're absolutely going to come up there and stick their nose in it when they need to stop a run. I just like where he is. I like what he's going to bring. And I just think that, I think from an attitudinal point of view, I like what he brings to the defense. So I'll go ahead and say Monster.
Yeah, Monster's a good pick. Cam Jones is a good pick. I'm going with Taiwan Mullen. We saw what the defense is without him last year in the secondary, especially against Maryland. When he tried to come back, he just – TJ, we watched that game together, and he couldn't change direction. But when he's on and when he's healthy, he takes away that receiver, and nobody's going to pass to that side of the field. With the expectation that he's back 100%, that's going to be a problem for opponents. You're going to – and guess who's on the other side? You're throwing to the corner who's the active leader in interceptions for Indiana. And then if you're throwing down the middle, you have Noah Pierre, who's had a couple picks to his name. Monster Matthews, as you said, Andy, and Brian Fitzgerald, who's a terrific athlete. Sitting there waiting. So I'm going to go with Taiwan Mullen as my most important defender. And he's just got that attitude and swagger too. You know, he came in, he took down the notes of 50, 25, and 10, and things like that. He wants IU to be good, and he could tell it in his attitude as well. And you know, this is probably his last ride in Bloomington, and he doesn't want to go out like he did last year.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I mean, it's going to be fun to watch Taiwan, and really Jalen Williams is really good too. I mean, it's one thing to have a shutdown corner, and it's another thing maybe two of them. you know, it's going to be in the watch.
Yeah. Let's go to under the radar picks. Andy, since you went second last time, you're going to kick us off with the under the radar defender.
Oh, you know, it's really hard. I mean, it's, you know, we don't get to watch practice. And so it's hard to say like which of the younger guys are the guys that, I just mentioned, I mean, he's the highest rated recruit in IU football history. I'm going to say Desaun McCullough. I mean, they're not necessarily counting on him. They might not have to play him much this year, although, you know, hopefully nowadays with the transfer rules being what they are, if I got a young, talented guy like that, I'm going to play him. I just think he's going to emerge at some point and be a real factor. I just think that's a likely occurrence, even with a bunch of experienced guys in front of him. I don't think you can keep that off field. I think once he's on the field and gets comfortable, he's going to produce.
Way to go under the radar with IU's highest rated recruit and signing.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. You know, but, well, you know, I wanted to leave Noah Pierre for TJ. You know.
Yeah.
All right, TJ.
Yeah. I'm going to go Noah Pierre. The other guy I considered was J.H. Tevis. I think he's going to have a pretty big role, again, as a versatile piece along that defensive line, playing sometimes inside on the interior, sometimes outside on the edge. So I think that Tevis is going to have a pretty large role, and he was a good player at Cal, kind of an under, I guess that's the point here, under the radar acquisition from Cal in the transfer portal. But I talked about Pierre a little earlier. I think he's just incredibly solid. Seems like he's consistently in the right place, good positionally. And, I mean, based on what we've seen, really physical and a sound tackler, which is important for that Husky position. He's going to be asked to do a lot of different things. And I'm excited to see how, you know, he adapts to a much larger role than what he has had before. But I think he's ready for it. And by all accounts, he's had a really good off season and continues to work really hard and be kind of a quiet leader for this group. So looking forward to him. That's my pick.
Yeah, I almost said Miles Jackson, too. I think both of those guys from the Pac-12, Miles Jackson and J.H. Tevis, are going to be factors.
I am not going to say either of them. I am going to go with Jonathan Haynes. He's a guy who came in last year. He was really good at Ole Miss. He only played in, I believe, 4 games last year on and off. He was a guy that they were counting on as a depth piece. He's got, you know, in 2020, he started all 10 games at safety for Ole Miss, had, you know, an interception, 31 tackles, 2019, 55 tackles with an interception. He has the ball skills. Now, I know IU's deep in the secondary, but I do think Jonathan Haynes could come in and give some guys a blow without really taking a step back in production. And, you know, we'll see. There's a lot of people in the secondary in that twos and threes. And Brylan Lanier was almost my pick for this. He was called the best athlete on the team in the secondary in a secondary with a ton of athletes. Those two guys, I think there's going to be a game or two this year where you hear their names and they're going to make a difference. So I'm going with Jonathan Haynes.
Well, you know, just revisiting the secondary a little bit, those two guys you mentioned, Haynes and Lanier, and Chris Keyes was impressive before he got hurt. And he's a big corner too. And then Josh Sanguinetti's made plays when he's had a chance to play. I mean, you know, you can look at the second four on the, you know, if you're saying that Tywan Mullen and Jalen Williams and Devon Matthews and Brian Fitzgerald are your starters, well, Lanier and Haynes and Keyes and Sanguinetti are probably your second four, and that's not bad. You know, those guys are, you know, there's a definite potential there. I'll be interested, you know, we're talking safeties. It's one thing I wanted to bring up before I forgot to. I'm really intrigued by the fact that, okay, we got Jason Jones, the safety coach. We got Paul Randolph coaching the defensive line. We got Chad Wilt as the DC linebacker coach. You know, Brandon Shelby is a veteran, you know, to join Tom on the defensive coaching side. That's going to be, I think, a really interesting wild card that we don't know how that's going to work. We don't know what kind of effect that's going to have new sets of eyes and new techniques and new evaluations affecting the secondary. I mean, affecting the entire defense. You got new coaches everywhere, basically. And so for me, it's really interesting. You know, it's like, I'm going to be interested to see if the starting 11 is what I think it is, or maybe not.
Yeah, it's definitely this might be the unit that IU has to lean on over the first couple games as the offense breaks in under Walt Bell, under whichever quarterback is chosen. Hopefully that decision is being made internally here in the next couple of days, since scrimmage number two was last Friday and things like that. Any final thoughts, TJ, on the defense?
I think we've covered it pretty well. I mean, there's reasons for optimism with Tom Allen coming back, change in staff as well with Chad Wilt coming in, some new energy there. A lot of good transfer portal additions that are going to have an impact. And then a great mix of returning veterans and, you know, returning underclassmen that both have a little bit of experience and are talented freshmen. So I think it's a well-constructed defense. The pieces are there for them to be a very good unit. They are going to have to be helped by the offense some. They can't continue to be put in terrible positions time after time, or they will fall apart and get demoralized like we saw last season. Or, you know, they got to stay healthy as well, because that also had a huge impact on what we saw unfold in the back half of last year. So I really like the secondary. I think the linebackers have, you know, some good potential answers outside of Cam Jones. We'll see which ones end up prevailing and getting the first crack to fill the shoes there. And then the defensive line, again, a deep group, a group with a lot of good additions. Can they find those one or two consistent pass rushers that can make some plays one-on-one against their tackle? And, you know, as we talked about, force those takeaways. Maybe it's a fumble. Maybe it's a sack that gets a team behind the chains and forces a punt. I like the pieces they have in place. Time to put it together and get back to being the kind of unit that we know they are capable of. And I've said this several times, a Tom Allen-led defense, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt until proven otherwise. That could end up coming back to bite me, and it looks a whole lot like it did last season, but I feel pretty confident saying that this unit's going to be significantly improved.
Well, I agree with all of that, and I would say, too, that there's going to be just a massive chip on their collective shoulder. They believe they're a much better unit than what we saw in the second half of last season. And frankly, I agree with them. A lot of these guys were starters. Several of them were starters when Indiana went 6-1 in Big Ten East play 2 years ago. And I think they believe in themselves. I think they're going to play with confidence. I think Tom has streamlined things a little bit again so they can not think quite as much and just play fast out there. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. We're just 11 days away, almost, you know, 11 days and 2 hours to the minute away from Indiana kicking off a very important 2022 season. With a Big Ten opener at home against Illinois, we'll have it all covered. Andy, thank you for joining us for the offensive defensive preview. We'll have Andy Graham on again to talk IU football basically whenever he wants. He's always welcome. So, Andy, we appreciate your time and your insights, and hopefully we'll see you down in Bloomington when the season kicks off.
No, it's been a real pleasure. I always learn things listening to you guys and reading you guys. So it's fun, and I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, that's Andy Graham, TJ again. We're through the off season. Hooray. And we'll get down next week to start our opponent, you know, our pregame podcast going. So thanks for an awesome off season again. And thanks for joining us for these previews and co-hosting with me as well. Any final thoughts of fall camp before we shut the door on our fall camp podcast?
Yeah, I think we are both more than ready to slam that door shut and run full speed ahead in the 2022 season. Really looking forward to our Illinois preview. We got a lot of good stuff on tap, and next week cannot get here soon enough.
Yep, that does it for our fall camp previews. Our talking about media rights, which you should be getting a ton of money pretty soon. Media rights, conference realignment, all that stuff. It's now time for games. We're 11 days away. Keep coming back to HoosierHuddle.com. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Subscribe, like, you know, rate, review the podcast anywhere where you get podcasts. Check out our YouTube channel as well for all the latest interviews from IU's players and coaches. As well, a big thanks to IU Athletics for that, for sending out the videos of their interviews as well to that. So big ups to Jeff Keg and his crew over at IU for that. Anyway, that does it for this week's podcast. Enjoy. We hope you enjoyed our off-season podcast, but the season is here and we'll be ready to go.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.